Blog Talk Radio.
Praise team, join your life. We're going to do a song that's a part of our worship. How many know he's wonderful? Put your hands together and sing this.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, now, God, we thank you for this opportunity to come and share this word with your people once again. We thank you for allowing us to be in your presence just one more time. So we glorify you, magnify your holy and divine name. This is our prayer, your darling son, Jesus' name, and for us say, amen. I want to welcome you tonight once again for this Bible enrichment. We want to welcome those of you on our radio broadcast, Wondrous Word broadcast, and those that's tuning in on Facebook Live. We thank God for you for sharing with us, and those of you that's here on campus tonight, we thank God for you as well for being in this place. Truly, God is awesome, and he's wonderful and worthy of all the praise, so we welcome you once again tonight. Let's continue on in our lesson, which we began on last week, dealing with God's house, or does the Lord's house lie in ruins, or should it lie in ruins? And we begin to deal with certain things. Blessings unto you as well, Sister Drusilla. We thank God for you tuning in. Those that's tuning in, call a friend, tell a friend, let them know your boy the bishop is on again tonight. And we're ready to go into our next segment. Brother Hart, we thank God for you also tuning in with us tonight. We want to go into our lesson. Truly, last week was an awesome, wonderful time, wonderful lesson. We began to deal with God's house and how should it lie in ruins, and how he expect his house to be and expect us to do what we are supposed to do for his house, for his kingdom. Amen. Let's go into Haggai. That's one of our key chapters, Haggai. So let's go there. Amen. Haggai, we thank God for all of you tuning in tonight. Amen. I don't know if put it down. Thank God for you, those that's tuned in via Facebook. I see you popping in. Wondrous Word broadcast, our radio broadcast. We thank you for tuning in tonight as well. Haggai chapter number 1, where we are. And we started dealing with the message, Haggai's message to Israel. And there we began with Haggai, verse chapter number 1, verse number 2, down verse 3 and 4. We began to deal with those verses. Haggai, God bless you. I see our colleagues dropping in on us tonight as well. As we understood, they began talking about the time wasn't, or has not come for the Lord's house to be built. There, chapter number 1, Haggai. And their reasoning, in verses 3 and 4, they began to give their reasons as to why it wasn't time for the Lord's house to be built. Because they was too busy building their own. And we began to deal with that, how a lot of times we are too busy doing our own things, trying to make certain that we got our stuff looking good, to try to impress people that don't even like us, and God's house lies in ruins. They was too busy doing their own homes and putting the things in their homes, and they put buildings, they were building their own homes before the Lord's house, putting them first. And we talked about that me first mentality. On our last lesson, we began dealing with that me-first mentality, and this is what was going on here with these people, putting themselves before the Lord, and their attitude was made clear. Let's go to verse number 9, Haggai 1, verse number 9, from the New Living Translation. It says, "You hope for rich harvest, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of heaven's army. While all your homes are busy, while all of you are busy building your own fine homes," it says, "look, you too busy trying to do stuff in your house. But all of a sudden, you omitting and not doing what needs to be done for my house. You're not putting any time or effort in to doing what needs to be done in my house. So have you ever did something in your house? You put something together, you had an idea, and you said, well, I want to do this here, I'm going to do this and put this in the house and everything. Then all of a sudden, something happened to it. Come on, you went out and you bought something, and I'm talking about it's going to look good right here. You wanted to put something in there that makes it look a whole lot better. And all of a sudden, someone comes by, and you happen to slip in something, and it breaks, or something happened. That's what God is saying here. You know, you worrying about your own homes, and you building your homes. I just blew that thing away. You're so happy. You get what? When you get something, you get so excited. You want everybody to see. Look what I got. Look what I got. You know, I bought this for my house. I bought this for that. I'm going to put this in this room. This room going to be a nice room, or whatever the case may be. Then all of a sudden, something goes wrong. Then we get upset. Now, because what we thought was going to be good turns out to be a disaster. And a lot of times, things like that happen in our lives because we put things before the Lord. Things begin to happen in our lives because we want to put that before God. Look what he says. It says right here, verse number 9, you hoped for a rich harvest. You thought they was going to get something good out of that. But they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Our folks say, look what I done did. Look what I made. Look what I got. And I would say, look at this. Trying to show it off. A lot of folks just want to show stuff off. I'll say, you brought it home, but I blew it away. You went and got you a car, but all of a sudden it's sitting up on bricks now. It's not working. He blew it away. You good. I got me a nice ride. Look, I'm in the game now. But all of a sudden, the next week it's sitting up on blocks. Come on, because we learn to put things before the Lord. And we know God said he is a jealous God. Thou shalt not have no other God, what, before me. He's a jealous God. Their attitude is made clear. And a lot of times people make their attitudes clear to you. They will make it very clear to you. Some folks make it so clear, I don't care nothing about you. I'm going to do what I want to do for me. And this is how we show the Lord. You have folk that show the Lord, look, I don't care anything about your house. Okay? If you God, why you need me to put stuff in your house and you God? See, these are the questions that folk, when they put themselves before the Lord, start coming out with. Sometimes folk want to get so deep they don't know what deep is. The Bible tells us the carnal mind don't understand the spiritual things of God. We don't understand the spirit realm, so we try to ask questions in the carnal mind because we don't understand it in the spiritual realm. Because if we was in the spirit, God will reveal some things to us that we wouldn't even have to ask in the carnal. Because we understand some things are impossible to answer in the carnal realm. You have to be in the spirit realm. Come on. Are you here? God bless you all. We thank God for you all tuning in tonight. Watch. The attitude is made clear while the Lord's house lay in ruins. Everyone was concerned about their own home. There's a song that says it's not about me, but it's about Jesus. We got to get to the point in our lives where we understand it's not about us, but it's about Jesus. This was Haggai's message to Israel. Now let's look at the message to Haggai. Look what Haggai said here in verse number 4. Haggai 1, verse number 4. Look what he says here. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruin? Look at the question. Look at his message. The message to him. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. The people are saying, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while mine lies in ruins? But the Lord challenged now, he challenges them to consider their ways. Now, this is what he's doing. Verse number 5, we're going to get there. Verse number 5. God now puts out a challenge. This is the Lord's challenge to them, to the people. This is the Lord's challenge to us. Verse number 5. This is what the Lord of Heaven says. Look at what happened to you. Look at what's happening to you. Can we really see what's going on in our lives? Can we really see when we begin to put things before God? Do we really see what's going on in our lives? He said, look at what's happening to you. Things have not been going well. Things have not been going well. It's amazing how people love the Lord when they think it's time to love Him so. When you're in a need, or you really need Him to come through for you or do something for you, it's amazing how people really love the Lord then. You want to put Him first when you don't have nothing. Oh, it's God. God, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I love you. Lord, turn this around for me. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. Lord, pick me up. Lord, bring me out. Lord, hear me. Lord, do this here. Lord, prosper me. Lord, I need you. But as soon as the Lord say, okay, I'm getting ready to bless you now, so I'm going to give you a little blessing. Now, all of a sudden, it ain't the Lord anymore. Look what I got. Look what I bought. Look what I've been. Look what I have. Look where I'm going. Look where I'm at. The Lord have nothing to do with that now. But now, all of a sudden, things start going wrong in your life. Look at what's happening to you. Like I mentioned earlier, God bless you. You go out there, you get you a nice ride, you get you something nice, then all of a sudden you can't ride it in a week. Look at what's happening to you. God turned things around for you, then all of a sudden the health problems start entering into your life. Look at what's happening to you. Can we see what's really going on in our lives? Can we see what's happening to us? This is God's word through His prophet. God is speaking through His prophet. When God wants to speak to us, He speaks through His prophet. He speaks through the one He gives the word to, whom He knows will not turn it around, but will bring it forth as God gives it. Amen. You living good. Yeah, you got it going on. But do you really see what's happening to you? You're drifting further and further away from the love of God. Your relationship is beginning to get messed up because of things. Do you really see what's happening to you? Come on, God bless you. You stop coming to church. Can you see what's happening to you? We really don't understand what God is doing, what God is showing us, and what God is telling us. This is what the Lord, there y'all see, verse number 5, this is what the Lord of Heaven's Army says. Look at what's happening to you. You see, Haggai encouraging the people to finish rebuilding the temple. But opposition from hostile neighbors had caused them to feel discouraged and to neglect the temple and thus neglect God. You're going to have some folk that's going to get on your last nerve. You're going to have some folk that's going to try to keep you from doing what God has called you to do, what God have anointed you to do. People will do that. People don't want to see the house of God prosper. That's why there's a falling away in the house of God, because people don't want to see the house of God prosper. Why I got to go down there and give to this house with mine? I can do this for my house. People don't want to see God's house prosper. That's why we get to the point we want God to give us major blessings, but we only want to give God dollar blessings. All we want to do is just give him a dollar here, a dollar there, $10 here, $10 there. But want his house to really prosper. But then we want to take $100 and go buy this mirror to put in our house. Come on, I seen this nice dining table. Right here, I cleared out this whole space because I'm fixing to put me a 75-inch TV flat screen right there on that wall. Come on. But then you can't watch it. Oh, okay. Yeah, you done cleared out of space to put that TV there. You got it. It looks good. But now you can't watch it because you didn't pay your electric bill and now they didn't turn the lights out. So now you want to come to the church and ask the church to help you to pay your light bill. Ooh-wee. That's good gospel right there. Yeah, you don't want to go sell that upon that 75-inch now because you know you're not going to get anything near what you paid for. But we get upset with God's people because we don't get the help we think we should get from God's people. He encourages them. And then you got people that's around you that's helping you to be discouraged from the church. You go to that church, they don't help you. I wouldn't be going to a church that wouldn't help me. But you don't tell them you're not helping the church. Yeah, they don't tell at all. You don't tell them that you're not doing what you should be doing to help God's house. You're not tithing. You'd have been in church a whole year and hadn't given $100. quiet. So you're saying to God, for a whole year, you haven't made nothing but $1,000 or received $1,000 for a whole year. Come, just a little closer. I'm teaching best I can. Come. Because if that be the case, if you only made $1,000 a year that you only tithe or put in the church, $100, 10% of that, how in the world you paying water bills? How in the world you paying a light bill? How in the world are you paying your grocery bill? Sales phone. Come. Because you're going to pay $40 a month for a cell phone, depending upon the plan that you got. $45, you know, straight talk. $45, you know, $55. You know, unlimited data, unlimited talk. Come on here. That's a month. So you telling God he's only worth. You don't even come to a snitching of a cell phone, God. You don't come close to a cell phone. My cell phone is more important than you. Can't you see what's happening to you? Okay, come. You pay more money buying cigarettes some spiritual things. We want to get spiritual answers from spiritual people. Someone send me stuff. He want me to answer some things. I ignore. Just some things I ignore. And I had a friend to message me saying, I put something on your page, on your timeline for you to answer, and nobody answers. I said, because I don't answer or respond to questions like that. Wow. That was the response. Wow. It's been out there for a while. Knock, knock. It's been out there for a while because those that are spiritual and anointed such as I understand and know, look, we're not responding to foolishness.
Amen.
So now people look at the leaders, look at the prophets, look at people in a different way when you give them the truth. Because one, when you send me something and it got a lot of letters in there, abbreviations, BS's, MF's, you're not going to get a response from me. Yeah, you sure enough won't get a response from me. But now somebody else sharing and wants you to respond off of that. Knock, knock. Y'all. Don't throw your phone at me. Don't throw it. Yeah. I'm teaching. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people understand. I don't know. You logged on to something heavy tonight. And you logged on the truth up in here tonight. You logged on something heavy. Amen. You logged on the right time. Look, this is how God set it up. This is how he set things up. We're too busy trying to get, as the scribes and Pharisees tried to trick Jesus. And you got people still trying to pin down and trick the men and women of God to fall into conversations.
Amen.
I don't have to prove to anybody what I know or who I am based on what I know. And you know, that's what some people will try to find out what you know and look at you based on what you know and what you don't know or what you respond to or can't respond to. Consider your ways. How is it? How can we literally treat God the way we treat him? To tell God in his face, literally, you're not even worth a knockoff. You're not even worth a generic brain when he's made you an original. And he's giving you the original.
Okay, I see you. Cousin, brother on tonight. Yeah, hello. Yeah, thank y'all for joining in. Radio broadcast, Wonders Word broadcast. We thank y'all for tuning in tonight as well. For those of you here tonight on campus, we thank God for you as well.
The Lord's challenge, consider your ways. Verse 5. Consider your ways. Look at what's happening to you. Consider your ways.
been going well for you. If you don't consider your ways and look and see what's happening to you, you're going to be so devastated and destroyed. You're continuing to bring destruction upon yourself. It's what you're doing. You're bringing it upon yourself that nobody will be able to pull you out of. That's what he said. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He said, let a man examine himself. You got to look at yourself. That's what he said. Consider your ways. This is what the Lord says, Haggai to tell the people in the Old Testament. Jesus comes back and say, let a man examine himself. In the New Testament, he's still saying, consider your ways. You can't run from it. Oh, come on, that's Old Testament stuff. Okay, same thing, New Testament thing. Just worded differently for you. For you smart people. For you deep, so deep people that want to get so deep. Look at what's happening to you. They should have been building the temple. Look at verse 7 and 8. Watch what it says. Let me go back to verse number 6. You have planted much, but you harvest little. You eat, but you're not satisfied. You drink, but you're still thirsty. You put on clothes, but you cannot keep yourself warm. Your wages disappear. As though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. That's why you can't hold on enough. Consider your ways. You get paid, on the first. Because the first is coming. You get paid on the first. On the third, you're going to be dead broke. What? I just had. Hey, can I borrow $20? You just got your check. A lot of times people are spitting it up. You had already borrowed it the month before. And now you got to give it back. Now you got to borrow again. Come on, you want to stop trying to borrow stuff from folk all the time? Consider your ways. Look at what's happening to you. Look at your habits. Look at what you do. Deal with some, without some things. Sacrifice from getting some things. Are you here? One of the guys in the shop said he made a bet with his wife. And, you know, they tried to mess with him because he put together all the money that he was spending just on lunch. He's going out to eat all the week. And his wife said, I bet you can't even go without eating, buying out a whole week. So look, he said, I'm gonna do it. Not watch this, not just to win a bet. Not just to say I won this bet. But to see how can I discipline myself. Yeah, to show that I have some discipline, that I can discipline myself not to go out and spend every day on something to eat because I'm spending over $100-something a week just eating out. So he's saying, look, I want to try to discipline myself from some of this to see that I know I can consider my ways. Come on. You got to consider your ways of some of the things that we do. So now we use that as an excuse as to why we can't contribute to God's house, because we're not considering the things that we do. I don't have, because I didn't have to do this. I done did that, everything I done had to do. No, some of the stuff you didn't have to do. You got yourself into it. Some debts you got yourself in. A debt you didn't need to get in. Y'all ain't talking. So because we're trying to impress people that can care less about us, trying to outdo somebody else. When you see somebody else get something, we want to go and try to get something a little bigger. Look what I got. Mine's bigger than theirs. Mine costs more than theirs. But you crying when you close your door because you can't pay for it. You can't pay for it now. And you're crying because you're trying to impress somebody else. I'm in verse 6. I'm walking it. You'll see if I can keep on walking. Good. Bless y'all. Look, we're too busy. We're too busy trying to impress people. And really, we should be trying to impress God. Because if we impress Him, don't you think He'll bless you a little bit more? Would you find yourself in situations because you know you've been doing what you need to do in God's house first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that all these things shall be added unto you. Don't you know when you begin to seek Him first and His kingdom, when you find yourself in situations, He'll give you whatever you need to bring you out of it, to keep you, to sustain you, to preserve you?
Yeah, I know He will.
Yeah.
Amen.
He will do it. Yeah. It's like the jungle sometimes makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Ha, 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 ha. Sometimes, you know, like, how? What's keeping me from going under? Damn it, hits me. I know what's keeping me from going under. It's nobody but the Lord.
Nobody.
The hand of the Lord is upon me. Because I put Him first. And when you learn how to put Him first, all these other things, you won't have to worry or try to figure out how are you going to get something done? Because guess what? When you put it first, you already know it's going to get done. No, come, back it up. Man. You already know that it's already done. Come here, pay sister. You don't have to wonder or ponder how you're going to pay your bills. Just look to the hill. All your help God will fulfill. It's already done. It's already done.
Amen.
It's already done. When you put Him first, you know it's already done. Why am I going to cry at night and lay down and worry about how I'm going to get this? It's already done. Yes, ma'am. Because I was getting happy. Come on, what you going to say?
Okay. I tell you all the time, Bishop, if you work for Him.
Mm-hmm.
And when you work for Him, you
get
it
over. He will. He will.
Well, you work for Him.
He will, team.
You know what I
tell
you?
Yeah. Yeah, He will. What's going on, Brother Lucky? That's right. He will do it when you put Him first. Yeah, I'm going to hit you up later on tonight, too, team. I got to ask you something. Yeah? I see the girls logging in tonight. God bless them. Yeah. That's how you got to understand something. Some things we don't have to worry about. When you serve Him, He's going to take care of you. Okay, that's why He said, look, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If He said He'll never leave us nor forsake us, why am I worrying about tomorrow? Don't worry about tomorrow. Huh? But you got to deal with what's going on today. Because tomorrow will take care of its own. No good thing will he withhold for you. Come on. No good thing will he withhold from you. When you worry for him, you think he's going to hold back the good for you? And he knows you need certain things? Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, people hadn't gotten to that point of belief yet. Mm-hmm. That's why sometimes people be acting so surprised. They act surprised when folks come and do something for them. Me? Why are you surprised when you know what God's word say? It's because you're walking, but you're not walking in expectancy. You're still walking, watch this, in hope. Okay, you're still walking in hope. Doesn't the song say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but holy lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground, see you say. So if I'm standing on the rock, huh? Why am I still just living a life of hope when I walk in expectancy knowing that it's already done?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I already know God. I'm trusting that it's already done. I know it's already done. So guess what? I'm believing. I'm praying this like I already have. I'm praying like, oh, I already have it. Even though I know physically I don't have it yet. That's why the carnal mind don't understand the spiritual thing of God. So I can pray things in the spirit realm, even though I don't have it in the natural realm, but I know I will get it. So that's why I praise him now for then. That's why I give him glory now for then. That's why I lift him up now for then. That's why I praise him now for then. That's why I bless him now for then. Watch this. That's why I give now for then. That's why I sow now for then. You got to know. Your faith. Yeah, I do things now for then. When you get up, you need to start declaring. And those of you that's watching me live on Facebook and those of you that's listening to me live on our radio broadcast, you need to declare. You need to put this. Matter of fact, tweet it, Facebook it, whatever you got to do, send it. Look, I'm going to do it now for then. That's all you got to do is put on there now for then. People are going to start asking, what that mean? Why are you posting now for then? Huh? Then you'll be able to tell them, look, I'm sowing into what I want God to do now. Because I know then, I may not have it now, but it's coming. Then, so I'm going to do it in advance. I'm doing it now for then. Look, because every time a time I find myself in a situation, so I'm going to sow into something now. So God knows that I've sown into. So when I find myself in trouble, when I find myself in debt, when I find myself in a situation, God will bring me out because for then. Yeah, yeah. I'm doing it now for then. Yeah, we see y'all. We see coaches coming on tonight. God bless you. We see y'all coming on. Thank God for you. Yeah, 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 yeah. Now for then. I'm doing it now. I'm excited now for then. Huh? I'm excited now for what God is going to do for my kids. Huh? I'm excited. Watch this. Watch this. Let me just throw that in there since I got some folks watching. Watch this. I'm excited now because of my wife. God is going to take care of my wife. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to do it now for my wife. So then, why am I lifting him up? Why am I praising him? Why am I giving him the glory? Why am I sowing my seed? Why am I believing? Why am I trusting? Why am I glorifying his name? Because he's going to bring me out. I'm telling you, this is what the Lord of Heaven says. Army said to you, look what's happening to you. Verse number 7. Again, 1, verse number 7. Now, go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. See, it's not working out the way you thought it was going to work out. It's not coming together the way you thought it was going to come together. Because you turned this thing around. You had me on your mind at first. God, I want you to do this here. Bless me. And bring back, give me the ability, give me the strength. I want to go and do this for you. But now when God release you, when God gives you the okay and the authority to do it, now you're looking at the benefits that you can have of what you can put together for yourself. Huh? And what I can have in my own life, in my own house. So now things begin to go down. It don't work out the way I think it should work out. I have nothing but misery in my life. I'm crying. I'm messed up. I'm depressed. I'm going through all of this. So God is saying, look at what's happening to you now. This is what I need you to do. Go up into the hills. Sometimes we got to get above some things. Y'all listen to this. Sometimes you can't stay down where you are. Because when you continue to stay where you are, you can still continue to get what you got. Y'all listening, huh? So see, God understands, look, if you stay on this level where you are, if you stay around the same broke people that you hang around, y'all ain't talking, you gonna stay broke. Come on, if you stay around the negative folk that you hang around, you're going to stay negative. If you keep on hanging around the folk that always lying, you're going to continue to tell lies. So he said, look, I need you to go up in the hills. I need you to go up, leave from where you are. Get out of this old dungeon. Get out of this pit. Come on, let me put it where you can understand it. Get out from under that tree having your pity party. Your life is not over. Stop crying. Stop drinking your tears for bottled water. Get up out of that pit. Come up out of that valley. I need you to go to the hills because, look, when I get to the hills, I'll be able to see a little bit further. And God is trying to bring us up to a hill, and we want to stay in the valley because we've gotten comfortable with where we are. That's good gospel right there. I'm right here in the book. Y'all better tell your boy. Call and tell the folk you're bonfire, you're bonfire. Tonight. That boy is on fire. Yeah. He's a get up and go to the hills. Look, because what I got for you, you can't get it in the valley. What I got for you, you can't find it down here in this pit. I got something that's alive. Yeah. Y'all only see that. Watch. Y'all only see the watch. 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 Watch the revelation. Watch the prophet is speaking to you tonight. Watch this here. He says, this is what the Lord said. Look what's happening to you. Now go up into the hills and bring down timber. Huh? I need some fresh stuff. I don't need nothing dead. I don't need nothing dry. Rot it out. I'm going to give you something fresh. Look what he says. Look, go up and bring down some timber. Huh? Because I know how this place looks down here now. But I'm sending you to get something that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The room is still good. Yeah. The room is still good. I'm just giving you some. I want you to get some good room. Huh? Come up and I'm going to give you something to bring it down. Watch. Bring down some timber. Not just one piece of timber. One piece, no, bring down. It's gonna be enough. God have enough for you to supply everything you need to take care of what He's commissioned and authorized you to do. Look, okay, y'all listening. In other words, when God gives it to you, He will supply it for you. When God gives it to you, He will supply it for you. All you have to do is listen to see where He wants you to go to get the supply.
Yeah,
right. Y'all listen. He told him, no, I need you to go up where? To the mountain. Go up in the hills. Huh? I need you to go in a specific place. He didn't say a desert. Why He gonna send you to a dry place? God is sending you somewhere where there's life. And I stopped by to tell somebody here, listen to me tonight, and listen to me on radio tonight, and here on campus, God wants to send you to a place where there's life. Go up to the mountains, go up to the hills, and when you get there, bring down some timber. Because there's enough. This land is my land. This land is your land. Huh? From California to New York Island. Come on, y'all remember. God is sending you where there's life. And He wants you to bring back life. Bring something worth you going to get. It's nothing for me to go to a desert and bring something back when there's nothing there. He said, I'm going to give you something worth your travel. Worth you working. Go and bring it down, and I want you to build my house. Build my temple. I'm giving you instruction. Huh? He's giving us the best. He's just going to tell you to get any kind of thing. But I want you to get the best. I'm giving you the best because my house deserves the best. And guess what? You deserve the best. So I'm showing you, if you know how to do my house right, don't you think? Come on. You can have the same thing and what? It can lead you to greater. Your taste wouldn't just go for anything or anybody. Come on. When I'm showing you the best, you just wouldn't fall for anything. Come on. All right. Then look what he said. Then I will take pleasure in it. And be honored. Yes, says the Lord. I'll take pleasure in this. I'm enjoying it. Look, I appreciate you doing what I've asked you to do. Obeying my orders, my instructions. In other words, God said, I can smile because of you. Yeah. Come on. Do we have God smiling or do we have God frowning? Mm-hmm. When we're doing what God told us to do, He smiles. But how much smiling is God doing for you. Well, how much frowning is God doing because of you? Watch what it says. The Lord will be pleasure. It will take pleasure in it and be honored, saying the Lord. Watch what he says. You hope for rich harvests, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Look what it says. Follow. You hope for riches. My hope is built on nothing less. You hope for. See, in other words, I can get a whole lot of money for this temple. There's some good stuff right here. I can go sell this. And I can go build me something for the Lolo. Come on. But now all of a sudden, a storm come and blew it away. It can't stand the storm. It can't stand the rain. Can you stand it? Can you stand the rain? Can you stand the storm? Oh, will anything just come and just blow you away? Okay, let me see if I can put it this way. Can you stand somebody talking about you? Can you stand somebody lying on you? Misusing you? Can you stand it? Will you lose your mind? Will you cry yourself till you can't do anything? Get to the point where you feel like there's no reason for you to live. Because now your hope that you hope for is now blown away. Because your hope is on the wrong thing. See, you hope for riches. Come on. Let's see. Because they had put the building their home before the Lord's house, they prospered little. Well, little they had, the Lord just blew that away. You thought you got something. You thought you had something. But that little that you have just blown away. You don't have anything now. Come on. Yeah, it's time for a new edition. Can we stand something? We don't want stuff to just be blown away. Time for us to get a new edition. Time to start afresh. This is what he's saying. Look, that what you had, that was your old edition. It's out of date now. In other words, this new edition has been upgraded. And see, we are afraid to get the upgraded version. God wants to upgrade us. That's why every time you see him, he said, go up. He wants to upgrade us. Now, watch what happens. The Lord even called for a drought in judgment upon them. Look, because you wanted to do things your way, he blew that stuff away. Look what happened in verse number 10. In verse number 10, this is what God will do when you don't do what he wants us to do. It's because of you that the heavens promises, no crops. Because of what you do. Because of what happened. The earth shut up. There's no rain. He's withheld that rain. Withheld the dew. Withheld whatever needs to be done to fall down in order for there to be an increase in the land. He withheld. Don't you get to the point in your life when God withholds his blessing to you. Come on. A lot of us at this point in time in our life now, God has withheld some stuff. He's withholding some stuff from us. He's not allowing it to rain. Therefore, we're not prospering. We're not producing. We're like that fig tree. That's just holding up a spot, but not producing anything. Hadn't produced nothing in years. So if it's not producing, guess what? Nothing else to do but cut it down. If the Lord looks out and sees something that he created to be productive, and he goes to get something off of that he created, and find that it has not been producing, what good is it to God? If God has given you a gift, a talent, or something, and you're not using it, what good is it for him? Let's see what our world can say. When you got God, he will fight your battle. Say it is not our battle to fight. It's not us. Some things is not for us. It's for us just to be obedient and do his work. Look what it said. Look, because of you, he withheld. He withheld the rain. He withheld the dew. And the ground, the earth did not produce. Because if it don't rain, and you got a field, and you got seeds, it's not going to do any good for you to have seeds planted. And there's no rain. That's called a drought. That nothing is happening. That means there's nothing. There's no life nowhere. It don't matter how many rain dances you call yourself doing. If God don't open up the heavens, there will be no rain. Come on, watch. Watch. If we can't take the heat now that we are facing. It's so hot. God, it's hot out there. God, please. God. Then all of a sudden, a cool breeze come by. Oh, thank you, Lord. Everybody's Lord-driven now. Oh, Lord, thank you. Good God. Lord, just let it stay like this, Lord. Let it stay like this. And then all of a sudden, it gets hot again. We get mad at God. We get mad at God. Then now he let it get hot again. Lord, I wish you'd rain. Just, oh, Lord, cool it down. Then it starts raining and thundering. Lord, why you had to let it rain right now? You know, it's amazing how we get so spiritual at times. But we don't show the Lord our appreciation. We won't show him any appreciation. But we know how to call him when it's convenient for us. around talking about they got issues and they got questions about the church and religion. You know, I'm kind of in between this thing about church and religion. Hold on. But you're still calling on God. Still saying, Lord, that's just cool. Lord, you said, but you got issues? Why are you calling on somebody you got an issue with? If you got an issue with somebody, you ain't just going to be calling. You don't even want to mention their name. If you mention it, it'll be in a different way. You're never satisfied. No matter what. What that is, Prince said, maybe I'm just like my mother. She never satisfied. Maybe I'm just like my father. Come on. We were never satisfied. These two bowls never satisfied. Nothing. We will find something to be negative about. Look, you talk about you want peace, but you always find something to be negative about. You're going to find something negative in every little thing. Now you wonder why you don't have the peace like you think or you want to have. Come here. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Verse 11. I have called for a drought on your fields and hills, no matter where you go. I've called for a drought. A drought to wither the grain and the grapes and olive trees and all your other crops. A drought, watch this, to starve you and your livestock, and to ruin everything you have worked so hard to get. Yeah. He said, look, I've called a drought. Not just in your fields, but in the hills where ain't going to be nothing running down. Come on, ain't no blessings going to get ready to fall down. Y'all missed it. From your field and the hills. See, I look to the hills, who's coming my help? My help coming from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Look, that rain comes down. It hit the hill first. And it runs down. Call a drought. Famine. Nothing prospering, nothing producing, nothing generating. Look, I've called it where your fields going to dry up. Everything. Look, there's not going to be any enough moist that you can preserve some stuff. That's going to go bad. All the things that you call yourself put up in storage, that's going bad too. Now, when that go bad, that's not even the worst. Oh, you think you got it going on because you got some little bit of cattle out there. You got some livestock. Guess what? If they don't have nothing to eat or drink, they don't start shrinking. start falling and dying and rotting, you're not going to want to eat that. You're going to be starving. You're going to begin to die. All because we wanted to be disobedient and selfish and take care of our stuff first. The me first mentality. This is what God done. God said, look, I know how to get your attention. I can do far more worse than anybody on this land. We're too busy trying to be afraid of people. God is showing us, look, you don't need to be afraid of people. You need to be afraid of what I can do. Because the same people that you're afraid of, they're going to be afraid. If there's no drought, if there's a drought, if there's nothing, nothing, livestock, no grain, no nothing, what you think they're going to be doing? Look, it don't matter what you call yourself, the experience and an invented. When there's a drought, there's a drought. You can be alive in a famine, in your spirit, man. There's a drought. There's nothing in you. You're dying. You're drying up. There's nothing. That's why some folk, when they get up and the anointing used to be on them and hit them, now the anointing is not there anymore because there's a drought. There's a famine. Because you turned the thing around. It's all about you now. It's all about what I can do. Oh, I'm finna go in here now. I'm finna go in here and kill these people in the church. I'm finna kill them. I'm finna kill them. I got a new run. I got a new rhythm. Bro, I'm finna kill the house. I'm finna blow the house up. And it's all about you. And you stand out there. Ooh, 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 ooh. And the folk just looking at you like, come on. That's why you need to understand that there's a certain type of anointing that's issued by God. It doesn't matter how gifted you are. Huh? I know some of y'all don't watch it, but I watched it the other night. I watched the BET Awards. Huh? I watched the BET Awards and they was honoring Anita Baker on the BET Awards. And one of the artists that not many artists got up there and they were singing, you know, a lot of Anita Baker songs, you know, they was alright. It's alright, you know, that they talent. They can sing. Alright. But there was a difference when the anointing hit the stage. Huh? When the anointing hit the stage and Yolanda Allen got up on the stage and started singing, "You bring me joy," and kicked it. Because there's a special anointing that's given by God. It doesn't matter how gifted you are. Huh? You can't lose everybody because you got a gift. Folk might be excited and happy, but when that anointing hit, you look out there, there was a video in the show, and you're like, wow. Ooh. You can see how they were feeling the presence. Come on. It destroys the yoke. Come on. He was little Snoop Doggy Doggy got up there. You know, he started doing his Christian song, his gospel song. Huh?
60 seconds.
When it came up there with him, and it still didn't take the cake. Come on, as good as anointing destroys the yoke. Come on, a lot of times people just like performances. So that's all you do. When you got a gift like that, you perform. But when you want lives changed, that anointing, you got to have that anointing. Because that anointing will change the lives. People, it will change the very fabric of your being. The anointing, as they say, it destroys the yoke. But a performance, when you get a performance, look, you go out there and you still do the same thing, but when that anointing hit, that makes you think, oh, I need to change my life. Something about me, I need to, that hit me. Look, folks be running from that anointing because they don't want to get right. They don't want to get right, so they begin to run from it. I can't sit up under this hill. Come on, who the next artist? Come on, let me get back. Because the anointing is different. See, he brought this drought. He brought this among the people. And he'll bring a drought in our lives. That's when things don't go right. He said, can't seem to get it together. We always go around now talking about if it ain't one thing, it's another. Come on, you're in the drought. There's a famine that's hitting your life. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul. You got more months than you got money. Your bills are building, your children are challenges, your finances are fleeing. That's because you're in the drought. Because we are putting others before God. Come on, that's what I'm saying. Because that's the carnal mind. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. That's what we say. Because we don't understand. Every day is a day of blessing. God is blessing us. I'm not lucky. I'm blessed. Look, I don't need no four-leaf clover. I don't need no rabbit's foot. I don't need no favorite shirt. Come on. These my lucky drawers. Come on. These my lucky shorts. I don't need that. Not when I got the blesser who inhabits the praises of his people. So when I got the Lord on my side, why would I be dependent on a rabbit's foot or a lucky coin? Won't be long when you